It's Morning Glory.
All right, I am here with award-winning comedian Marshall Lorenzo, who is on the line with us this morning and bringing his new sketch comedy show, Serving Can't, to the 2026 New Zealand International Comedy Festival, presenting a sharp commentary on the crushing weight of capitalism and the absurdities of modern life. Marshall, good morning.
Morena, how are we doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm well. I'm feeling the bounce in my step from the delusion that everything's going to go well tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm great.
One can only live in delusions. What can we expect from your show?
So Serving Can't is a follow-up to Decadence, which is a show I did last year in Tāmaki and a sold-out run in Ponikin, Wellington, in February. And so I've had very little time, but I've managed to put together a bunch of new sketches and new characters that kind of are feeling the rage of it all. So if Decadence was about like, I guess like the ship's going down, we may as well enjoy it while we can, spend all our money. This one I'm like, no, I think we need to like resort to violence maybe.
how will you be exploring the crushing weight of capitalism?
So I'm, for example, I had one sketch in the show that was sort of about weight loss, and I decided to sort of rewrite it to being about scream therapy.
Oh yeah.
So you know, it's that classic New Zealand thing of like, she'll be right, but actually it won't, and maybe we should all just scream.
Yeah.
It's things like that. It's, again, the Briscoes lady is back. She's more evil than ever. I think she's in the right. I think she comes across as evil in the show, but like, she's the one in the right. She wants to burn it all down with us. She wants to be 60 feet tall, crushing us in her flat pumps.
Yeah. What other characters do you have for us with this new show?
In terms of new characters, we've got a lovely employee from New World, RIP, New World Victoria Park.
What department are they from?
They're handing out non-alcoholic samples.
Beautiful.
So I won't give anything else away, cool. But I think we can all guess what the hell is in non-alcoholic alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got a lot of like, just people on the brink of losing their minds.
Cool.
You know, people who are ready to pick up a gun.
Okay, but not literally. Yeah. Just you know, push to the brink and have some frustrations to.
Well, I'll just say no spoilers, but yeah.
Okay, no spoilers is good. And as your bio also says, being mogged by the elite. Can you say more on that? Is that part of the show? Or is that just part of the vibe right now?
It's part of the vibe. I do not have a sketch about mogging or looks maxing. But if you, I'm sure BFM listeners know mogging is like outdoing someone. But we are being mogged by the elite. They are literally laughing at, playing in our faces at the Met Gala.
I know, watching that like from, you know, the Vogue live stream when I was feeling feral and broke was dissonance.
It's disgusting. The only way like I could have maybe enjoyed it more is if everyone who attended the Met had to wear something shipped from Amazon.
Oh.
Like, that would have made it okay, because then we could all have just laughed,
us. That's the ultimate spawn. It's a really immersive brand activation if they'd done that.
Disgusting and awesome, yeah. Ugh.
Your show feels and is very now. Is culture absurd at the moment? Do you think it's just all gotten kind of fever dream ridiculous and infuriating and just the things we all spend time talking about?
I don't think culture has changed, but I think the context around it has. So, where we used to sort of live in this bubble and just sort of laugh at, oh, well, like, you know, billionaires are stealing our wealth. Now it's like, no, we are, the planet is near death. Mm. They have taken everything. And so the response to that is different. Like, if you look at Clavicula, right, like, that looks maxa,
Yes.
He's actually like, even though like he's terrible in far-right views and all of that, but like he is a direct response to the environment.
Yeah.
Like
he was produced by the algorithm.
He's produced by the algorithm. He's literally smashing his face with a hammer for content.
I find him quite a tragic figure.
He's totally tragic figure, right? That's where I think we're at. Like what really got me was the interviewer sort of like playing it off as like this lighthearted content, and it's not lighthearted. It's actually really scary.
No.
The youth are not okay. They do not have a world to look up to.
And people like Vicula, we're sort of just consuming that content about people like this, sort of laughing about it, all those memes. But it always feels like there's a sideshow of the week on the internet or sideshow of the month, you know?
Yeah, and I think like that can be really hard to like put together a comedy show about, but at the same time, like that is literally how we survive, is by like letting that release, that surprise and that relief out through laughter. That's corny, but it's true.
Yeah. How's it been? Because you were in Canada for like 10 years and then you moved back to New Zealand. How's it been being back? How does it compare? Like, how do Canadians and Kiwis compare? Has this changed your comedy at all? What's that all been like for you?
I think Canadians are more willing to sort of... The stereotype about them being polite is very real. But they do go out more. They do support a lot of like different types of comedy. I think in New Zealand, like we're so in this little bubble that is New Zealand that we really kind of stick to our own, shows that we go see. So I think it's been a bit of a grind to try and like sell people on something different. You know, if you can throw a rock and catch 10 stand-up comedians, but like there's really not that many sketch comedians. And it's not that different of an art form. It's just presented differently.
Yeah. And I do feel like sketch comedy is quite, like we see it a lot online. Like you see the videos of it and you see, it's a lot of the content we see on all of these platforms is that kind of characterized stereotype or skits and sketches. So people are quite, I think, fluent with it, just maybe not as in the habit of going to see it IRL. Would that be a fair assessment?
Totally. And I love it because I think it's a shortcut to the joke sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of stand-up is built around the setup of the joke and really like creating a narrative and a storytelling sort of palatable experience for an audience member. Whereas like, I like to go straight in. I'm like, here's the person, here's the character, here's the joke. Let's all laugh and die.
Yeah. How did you get into comedy in the first place? What was your sort of...
I initially was trying to get to New York City a long, long time ago and go to Upright Citizens Brigade, UCB, in New York. And visa-ing, I just wasn't able to, like, get a job to be able to support the visa. And it was a much easier pathway to Canada. So... Canada has the Second City, which is like a sketch and improv school, iconic school. And so I just jumped straight into that. And that's how I met sort of all the people in my comedy world that sort of led me to eventually Canada's Drag Race.
Yeah. What was that experience like? Any lessons from working on Drag Race?
Yeah. TV is the Wild West. Anything goes. If you're the fastest and the strongest, then you will survive. Protect drag at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Drag queens are just, they're kind of like the frontline soldiers for society.
Yeah.
You know?
And treasures.
They're out, treasures. They are out there trying to like make fun of misogyny and the patriarchy and gender. And we have to protect them. Please protect the queens. Protect
they,
the dolls.
And they do it all in heels and a full beat. Honestly, they're doing a lot.
It was crazy. It was a crazy experience.
So Comedy Festival will be a bit more low key than that is, or is it quite full on doing? Because you've got three shows in a row. May 7th,
I've got three shows. and they're kind of a late night, 9:15 p.m. at Basement Theatre. Mm. And there is some really good stuff happening at Basement Theatre too. Mm. So you could potentially do, like, if you're so inclined, you could do an all-nighter and see, like, you know, the 7 o'clock show, the 8 o'clock show, my show at 9 o'clock, you know, triple bill or something, and you will not find a dud. Yeah. You will not find a dud in the pack at all.
Yeah, the lineups is like over 100, I think maybe 140 comedians this year. It's quite an incredible roster. Just looking at the schedules, overwhelming but exciting. Do you have any?
It is.
Do you have any etiquette tips for people going to the comedy festival? How can one be a good person in the crowd and not piss off the comedian or be rude or be, you know, what's some tips?
TikTok has lied to you that it is not an interactive experience. Like, comedians only post those clips of hecklers or interacting with the audience because they don't want to post their jokes, right? They want you to buy a ticket to the show so they can hold on to their jokes.
Yeah,
that's
IP.
The only reason.
Yeah.
It's IP. Yeah. So it is not an experience where you get to go and be the star of someone else's show. I literally once at a show had a guy come up to me beforehand and he was like, okay, so when do you want me to heckle? When do I jump in? Just let me know when to jump in, baby. I'm ready. And I was like, okay, so never. Like, not at all. This is not an interactive, especially sketch comedy. Sketch comedy is much closer to theater. So it's like,
yeah, it's not conversational.
So I just, TikTok has broken people's brains where they think that they can just like say whatever. And I'm telling you, it disrupts the show. It disrupts the flow. It throws the comedian off, unless they have a segment where they explicitly say, start asking questions to the crowd. Yeah. Other than that, they're the one with the mic.
Yeah. So no heckling, no interrupting. Go enjoy, laugh. I've got to say, there's something quite incredible.
And be on time.
And be on time. That's very, and don't be too drunk.
And don't be drunk.
Because I've seen performances ruined by someone who was absolutely hammered and it derailed the whole thing.
Absolutely. You will just get removed. Yeah. It's not as fun as you think it is.
Yeah. And enjoy yourself. There's something quite incredible about being in a room full of people all laughing together, communing with your fellow man. It's amazing.
Oh, my God. Please. Yes. Also, that's a good point. Like, feel free to laugh loudly. Like, the social pressure of, like, being polite or cute. Like, no. Like, it's 9 o'clock at night on a Thursday. Let's get rowdy.
Yeah, we want some honking laughs. Okay, amazing. Thank you so much, Marshall. It was really great to hear a bit of a tease of what we can expect from your show, Serving Can't, which is on May 7th, that's today, and May 8th and May 9th at Basement Theatre. Tickets are from $15 to $28, so that's quite reasonable.
They I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think they're closer to like $20 to $28.
That might be early bird.
Yes, but you can use a code GOODCANT at checkout, and that'll give you a 20% discount.
Oh,
so how about that?
Oh, my gosh. I will put that in the show notes. Is that all caps?
All caps, baby.
Okay, cool. I will put that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Marshall. BFM listeners, how lucky. Awesome. Well, good luck for tonight. It was really, really great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Thanks, y'all. See you at opening night.
Bye.
Bye. BFM.